Were you prepared for that first poop? Because I was not. And I thought there was something gravely wrong with my child. Like, it was like black and tar. And I was like, oh no, something's wrong.
I went with melted black licorice saltwater taffy.
Welcome back to Privy. Privy is a podcast about bathrooms, recorded from my home bathroom. I'm your host, Hunter Hoover, and I love bathrooms. And this week on the pod, I am in studio, but I'm going to be joined by a friend of mine and soon-to-be friend of the show, Bradley Trull. So we'll see if we can get him on the call here.
Alrighty. I'm joined by Bradley Trull here. Bradley, can you tell us a bit about who you are? And we can chat a bit about how we know each other. But
my name's Bradley Trull. I've been married to my wife Carly for a little over 3 years now. We just had our first kid, a son named Samuel. So
that's awesome.
It's great. He is just almost 3 weeks old. He'll be 3 weeks on Monday. So
yeah, you're busy.
Crazy. Really good. So I'm youth pastor at the church I grew up in.
Nice.
Been doing that part time. And then I work as a substitute teacher. Currently I have a contract position with Cascade High School in Turner.
Oh,
and
cool.
So that's been a great place to work, but I'm enjoying paternity leave right now. So
yeah,
yeah, life is good. Getting to hang out with my family and let life slow down a little bit. So it's been great.
Is Cascade, is that public or is it a charter?
It's a public school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
It's cool. Turner and Almsville.
Oh, okay. Got it. Yeah.
Yep.
How do you like that?
I really like it. It's a great school to be at. Good. It really has a community feel. And I think that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And it's been cool. I don't know what each day is going to look like.
Yep.
Some days there's no subbing that needs to be done, so I'm making name tags for teachers or laminating things or running copies.
Cool.
But on the days where somebody's gone, I might be in any sort of class.
Right.
From band to science to, I've done some long-term subbing positions, math and science. And yeah, it's been really good though. A lot of great teachers out there. So
yeah, that's fascinating. So they kind of got you on retainer a little bit.
Yeah, because the sub shortage was so bad because of COVID, myself included, basically all subs lost their jobs. We basically got an email from the districts that we worked for saying, sorry, you're not full-time employees. So we weren't guaranteed any wages and they didn't have school. So so I did Amazon landscaping for a little while and then slowly worked back into subbing.
Whoa, at the warehouse down there?
Yeah.
I guess up there?
Yeah. I did 2 months. 2 months was enough, but
yeah. That place is huge. It's always interesting because you probably interact with Corbin still a little bit more than I do. But I could not have imagined, when we were both attending Corbin, it was all kind of, there wasn't much out there. And
there
now
nothing.
It's just, it's just kind of booming. I remember John Scott would always, he would always get frustrated anytime they talked about building in that lowland right across the road. And I'm sitting here going, man, here we are. He was kind of right. They're heading this way. So,
well, growing up going there with my dad teaching there, I remember when they excavated it out.
Yeah.
And then it just sat for years. I remember being huge earth movers and they dug out all this stuff and flattened it. And then it just sat there.
Weird.
And then it went wild again. And then now they're doing stuff again. I remember him saying that there was an old homestead out there and one of the guys was famous for minting a certain type of gold coin. So he's if you knew the right spot to look, there might be, a box of these old Oregon gold coins somewhere around here.
Man, he should tip off some Corbin students that are there now and they get out there with some metal detectors and see if they could find some fortune or something. but Yeah. Is your dad still at Corbin going strong?
Dean of Ministry. I think he's at like 32, 33, 34 years, something like
that. That's amazing. Wow.
So,
you know, what's funny is he sent me one of the very first emails for this podcast.
Yeah. Like, I told him about the podcast and early. So then he did that. I remember that.
Yeah. I actually still have it because I haven't done all of the things that he had said in it. It's an ever-growing beast, but I know you gave me a couple of things that you had, but do you remember any just wild bathroom or bathroom adjacent things from Corbin? Because I mean, in my brain, I have multiple, but everybody's experience was different there.
Well, okay, I got one going back to high school.
Okay, perfect.
So I went to Cross Hill Christian. It became Cross Hill my senior year. Used to be Willamette Christian at Church on the Hill and Turner.
Yeah, yeah.
And so in the men's bathroom, there is like three urinals, regular stall, and then at the end is a handicap stall. But in the middle, there's just a toilet with no door.
Oh, yes.
So what? We would always call that the mystic stall. And so in high school, we always said that if you were brave enough to poop in the mystic stall, then it would speak to you and give you a vision or something like that. So we always talked about the mystic stall that didn't have a door. In fact, we had kind of briefly joked about our senior gift because it was all guys. My class was all guys because we started the high school. We were the first to make the jump from 8th to 9th up. So there were 9 and then 10 of us, and we gained some, lost some, finished graduating class of 10 guys. So we joked about our senior gift being a glass door to put on the mystic stall so that it would have a door but still be mystic. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm just trying to wonder, like, if I walked into a bathroom and saw that, like, I think even if it was one of those kind of misty shower glass doors on a bath, I think it would make me look longer than I should than if there was just no door. It would catch me off guard. But yeah, it's.
And then I got a post-college one. So one of my roommates, his name's Josiah. He was a freshman in my hall. I was his RA. And then the next year he became an RA. So we were on an RA team together. And then he was still at Corbin and I had just graduated and I needed a place to live. And his uncle leased out like a guest house to the two of us and two other guys. So him and I were roommates, but we had a scale in the bathroom. And so we would weigh before and after and had a contest to see who could lose the most weight while in the bathroom. And I think pretty close to the end of when we both moved out, I ended up with the winning numbers. I can't remember what it was, but
are we talking like over a pound or two though?
I think so. Ooh. Yeah.
That's brutal, man. Sometimes, you know, and every now and then you get one like that where it's just like you feel lighter. Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Breaking Bad, but like when they're ADHD brain, when he's talking about like the chemical makeup of people and they've got the like point whatever percent that they can't account for, and he's talking about how it's the soul. I wonder sometimes if like some of that weight is something supernatural or mystical or some sort of experience having had that happen. But dude, that's funny. At Corbin, I just thought about this. So with the no stall door thing, in Davidson, in enough said there, but in Davidson, a few of us in our hall would regularly poop with the bathroom stall door. Just, we wouldn't lock it. We would just poop with it open. And I don't know why. Multiple people said it's because if there was an intruder, we could like see who was coming and defend ourselves. It's not a great argument, but I remember one day I was in the bathroom and Dr. Derrickson's son stopped by to visit a friend, and he came in the bathroom and I did what we always did, which was bam, you know, hit the door, swing it wide open. And there's this big long line of mirrors. And I just remember Dr. D's son just standing there like staring at me, and he was upset. And he's like, what are you doing? I was like, this is what we do here. And then he just turned around and walked out. He didn't even use the bathroom. He was not happy, but, yeah, maybe it would have been better if there was no stall and it didn't have the swing effect, but, yeah,
that's amazing. So I didn't live in Davidson, but I lived in PVG
yeah.
and Farrar. And so PVG, I did Mr. VG, their man pageant, as a freshman, and I made top four, and we had to write a poem. And I remember that one of my lines was, there's always an open shower if you really need to pee. So there's my PVG bathroom. And then Farrar is the old nurse's quarters from when it was a TB hospital.
Yeah.
And so the first two toilets were designated urinals, and it was literally just no door, no seat, regular toilets.
Okay.
So there's just no seat on them.
Did anybody ever go for it? Like squat and hover, or like,
I mean, I'm sure people did. I can't remember. The other thing was, I was a three floor RA, so third floor. I lived second floor, and then when I was an RA, I was in third floor. And the hot water was so awful when you flushed. So I literally made signs for all the stalls. And last time I went, they were still there. At least some.
Really?
And it was like, please yell flush before you flush, because anybody in the shower is about to get torched.
Oh, that's awful that happens. But I imagine if somebody was just visiting and they're, you know, they're just flush, you know, it's going to catch you off guard. That's funny. I did not know that.
Best Farrar bathroom trivia is this. So there was third floor, a spigot, like a hose, outdoor hose spigot underneath the sink that would regular garden hose attached. And it was direct from the hot water heater. So that is how they did redneck hot tub. Is it was on the back side of the dorm. So you'd back in the truck or trucks the way into behind the dorm. You'd screw on the hose, throw it out the window.
That's so sketchy.
Turn on that direct hot water heater spigot. And then you'd have to leave it to cool for like several hours.
Right.
Because it was so hot, especially I think later they turned the heat down a little bit on the hot water heater. But it was like straight hot water heater hose into the bed of a truck.
You ever make any ramen off that? Because that's my like.
No. Well, OK, you could make tea out of your Farrar sink almost.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the water was really kind of cloudy and gross. And I know some people also would pee in the sinks in Farrar because you had a sink in each of your rooms.
That's wild.
So, but the water was hot enough. You could make tea with it basically because it was just so hot. And the hot tub we took advantage of because they did a car parade.
Yes.
After you left. Or were you there for that?
I for some reason, I remember this. I remember.
So they did a car parade and they gave us cardboard to decorate our parade float. And so we did a hot tub in the back of my dad's truck.
Yep. And I think I saw pictures.
Yeah, we drove it up the hill and we put like, you know, signs on it. We put my boss's phone number on the back and said, call me. That was Sam Bagenstoss. So his number was on there.
Oh, yes.
So, and then, one of my guys made a giant pumpkin out of cardboard and like orange tablecloth and put it on the front.
Oh my
so
gosh.
I drove that up with a load full of guys in the back.
I imagine that's sloshing pretty good going up that hill too.
It did. It was like right on the edge of the tailgate when we were going up the hill. And it was Matt Lucas, I think, that was right behind us in the baby blue Mustang that Darren Milionis owned. You know what I'm talking about? Did you ever see that?
Oh yeah.
So that was close behind us. And I was like, like we cannot dump super hot water on this.
If this tailgate gives out, we're in trouble.
Well, yeah. And I would have dumped probably like six guys out, but we won and we got $300 as a haul. And
one of my roommates made hall shirts.
My roommate made hall shirts for all of us. It said straight out of Farrar. And we got the fancy, like long sleeve, like sport tech shirts. So
I remember seeing these shirts too. This might have been like my last year there, maybe while I was doing master's degree stuff.
Yeah.
Because I remember seeing straight out of Farrar shirts.
Yeah, we were the only ones that made those, as far as I know. So we just made them the one time. So
interesting. Yeah, I Farrar always lived in this like other world for me, because it wasn't like I wasn't one of the Davidson, because I think there was a fake rivalry, or at least maybe an unspoken thing where like I never got that because Anna was in A-Guard when she was there. So I saw a lot of the Farrar guys anyway. But it just kind of lived in this other space. And I think PVG, you know, Davidson's, maybe it's better now, but we weren't very good at getting out and seeing each other. That's, yeah.
Well, Bayo Davidson are mixed now. Both,
yeah, they did that my junior year, but I so had
that changed
left,
a lot, I think.
Yeah, I had left campus because we got married that summer. And so, like, I never got to see the other side of that. But like Chad and Travis were still in the dorms doing stuff. And so I would go visit them and see, and it was different, but, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I definitely miss a lot of the like campus life and I tell the kids, cause I've actually got a young adult, girl at my church right now. She's going to Corbin. I think she lives on campus. But I told her, I said, listen, like the faculty and the teaching staff are phenomenal. Like every place has its troubles, but this is what I can swear by here. And I told her to ask. I said, ask Dr. Troll, ask for Dr. Anderson. They'll set you up good. But yeah. But anyway, yeah, your dad, one on my phone, I have a bunch of pictures from, I don't have a lot because I put them a lot on cloud, but one of them that lives on my phone is a picture of your dad and Dr. Anderson riding a camel together. And it's, it's one of my absolute like highlight moments from all of my time at Corbin. Just these two grown men, looks like little kids on the back of this camel. It's great.
I got to go on that first trip to Israel. So yeah. 2008, I was 13. That was Whoa. The first trip Corbin did. And I went and I rode a camel at a gas station.
So that's awesome.
We also saw Israeli soldiers using their like siren to like just get down the road faster.
That's funny.
Because we just saw this car go flying with a siren and then it just like turns into where we were. And then they just were like walking around in the shops.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. How many times have you been over there?
Just once. Once to Israel. Just one. Yeah. I've traveled other places. Right. So we can talk about that. I've had a few interesting travel
backgrounds. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Cause you went to Europe.
Yep.
Yeah. Was that with the, I don't remember what they called it.
Ombex.
Yeah. Sweet.
So yeah, we stayed in a house in Spain and it was amazing. Like it was super cheap. I think we paid 66 euro each for the full week, but there were like 10 of us and we had this like insane house with like an indoor like courtyard, like super nice, about like a mile and a half walk from the Mediterranean on the south coast. But it had a bidet in there, and to this day, I was actually talking about this just the other day, I don't know how it worked because it was not attached to the toilet. It was like a separate, it looked like a really low sink just like right next to it, and I was like, I don't know how you use this. Do you know? You're the bathroom guy.
I think some of them have a seat, but some of them don't.
No, it had a faucet though. And like there wasn't that much room.
Did it have like a lot of times they have a little like gray looking drinking fountain, like looking nozzle on the underside of the bowl. And because when we went to Israel, we stayed in a place. I roomed with Micah Ropp and he and I were both like, oh my gosh, this thing. And that's one of my biggest regrets, because I wasn't into the bathroom thing then as much, but I didn't use it because I was like sketched out by it. But I remember it had this little like almost like gray looking nozzle, and Micah turned the thing and it shot water clear across the room. And so I assume you kind of like straddle that and let it.
Maybe blast. There was a nozzle I didn't see, because to me it just looked like a little sink, but it wasn't deep enough to like really squat in there. And I was like, I don't know. How you use this thing. I mean, I knew it was a bidet, but I was just like, what the heck? I don't know. My other crazy one is we were in a monastery in Italy because we did an art history tour. And this one, there were like paintings in each of the like monastic cells.
Yeah.
But I go in to use the bathroom. It was the first time I'd ever just seen it like a porcelain hole in the ground.
Oh, yes.
Water flowing. I just walk in and I was like, oh. I was like, well, this is going to be a new experience.
This is what we're doing here.
I remember a missionary to Japan telling my family, she went into a bathroom in Japan and she saw the stall doors went all the way to the ground. And she was like, whoa, that's so nice and private. And then she opens it and she's like, oh, it's because it was just a hole in the ground. Oh, so that's why.
Yeah, that would be weird.
Well, in Cameroon, it's literally a hole. So I went to West Africa.
Yeah.
And it was literally just a slot cut in the concrete with maggots crawling out of it.
Oh.
So
it's the randiest hole.
Yeah, I have a picture. I'll have to send that to you.
Shoot.
And yeah, you can see the maggots, even though the camera wasn't great. It's still, you can see the maggots like coming out of the slot. So
yeah. Yeah. The closest I've had to anything like that was when I went with Darren Milionis to Mexico. And they had bathrooms and infrastructure, but our campsite where we were at, and it wasn't like it was a campground. Cause like, you know, when, you know, even in America, like you go to a campground, sometimes you're pooping in a hole, but yep. Like this was, it had facilities, but when you went into the facilities, it was like tile floor and a hole in the ground.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay. And man, my aim is not great. That's what I learned. It's a skill issue for sure, but yeah, dude, that's, you've traveled a lot, like you've been around this world.
Yeah, I've been really lucky during my time at Corbin and other things. So I did OMBEX and we visited a bunch of countries in Europe.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Israel when I was 13, and then I did Cameroon with the ministry faculty when they were doing training pastors over there. They had to switch to Uganda because of civil unrest.
Right.
In fact, our year was the last year, and we found out afterwards that if the teachers would have known it was as bad as it was, we wouldn't have gone, because we were stopped we were stopped over 10 times in like a 6-hour drive, but a various stops. Some of them were just like wave us through, but some of them were hand passports out the window. Some of them were everybody out of the van.
Wow.
Like military checkpoints. So. Because we were in one of the rebellious areas in one of the larger cities. So,
wow.
And like the government building, like sandbagged up, guy with an AK up in the like loft. Like, yeah, it was
that's
interesting.
Crazy.
And sad.
Yeah. So,
but then the year after that, I got to do South Africa. Corbin did a program for 2 years called Camp 10 with Teach Every Nation, which was started by Bruce Wilkinson. He was the Walk Through the Bible guy. I don't know if that rings a bell, but so yeah, he had a ministry and they basically had people donate money and they built this super fancy like game farm resort in South Africa as like a training facility for pastors and stuff. And so I went the first year and we were there for 5 weeks. We lived on the game farm. I got to shoot a wildebeest and an impala and got to see all these animals and so it was super cool. And then we did a little bit of like local outreach too, but then the kids took classes and got Corbin college credit for high school's kids. So they took some classes and especially like cross-cultural stuff. So that was super sick.
Wow.
So that's super cool. And then the other big trip was, I guess, on the way home from Cameroon, my dad and I went to Istanbul for a couple of days because I'd always dreamed of going.
Yeah.
And so we got to go check that out.
Wow.
And then road trip to Canada. But I'd visited Europe, Asia, and Africa before I ever went to Mexico or Canada.
That's wild.
Yeah, I've never been to Mexico still, but I've been to Canada only once. But yeah, the Lord was good, and because of most of that was school or a job, I got paid to go to South Africa. It was
awesome. Sweet. That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So you shared transition a bit here, but you shared that y'all have a new baby there with you.
Oh yeah.
What do you have anything that, and I have one thing in my brain, but I want to see if you arrive there. Have you learned anything or what has the early diapering experience been like for y'all?
Well, okay. So one of my wife's friends was saying, hey, take some videos, because she was like, I wish I had more videos of the newborn stage. She's like, I took only pictures, so take some videos. So Carly lines up, first video gets him taking a huge fart dump and it was amazing. So he's just laying there and just and just fills his diaper, and it was like, shoot, this is perfect. And then Carly was just like, I got that on camera, buddy. So forever we will have hold on to that video.
Yeah, he's gonna love that in about 15 years.
But I mean, I had a lot of people say, okay, he's a boy, so you want to cover him up so he doesn't pee everywhere. So
have y'all been peed on yet?
Just gotten his first like sponge bath.
Yeah.
Cause he had like some blood clots in his hair. And so they were kind of like cleaning that out and stuff. And so he's just laying there and I just hear Carly go, oh, and I turn and look and I think it, and I turn and I just see him pooping just everywhere.
Oh.
And and we'd put towels and everything down. So like it was fine. But like what she was yelling about though is he'd started peeing.
Oh,
and he like peed across the bed onto like I think some of the paperwork from the hospital that was still sitting there.
Legend.
So that was crazy. Honestly, I didn't have a lot of diapering experience. I practiced once.
Winnie the Pooh. There he is.
Yes. So there we go. Sent it to my family because my sisters always gave me a hard time about never changing my little cousin's diapers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I proved I could do it. And then of course sent the classic practice gift from Allen Iverson just for my dad's viewing pleasure. So,
oh, that's so funny.
It didn't take too long to learn. I thought maybe infant poop would be worse, but he's just doing breast milk right now. Yeah. So it's really not that bad.
Right.
Though the other day he did definitely poop on me and I learned my lesson. You have to wait. Just because you hear him poop doesn't mean he's done. You got to wait. So I'm like, oh, okay, I'll change him. Like, and all of a sudden just a foot and a half spray.
Yep. And it's always spray.
On like the when wipes they're little. And like all the stuff. And I was like, Carly.
Yep.
We got him cleaned up. And so far it's been pretty good. But I just throw a wipe down just to keep him from peeing everywhere right off the bat.
Right.
And that seems to be pretty effective. So
when he was born, when y'all were still in the hospital were you prepared for that first poop? Because I was not. And I thought there was something gravely wrong with my child. Like it was like black and tar. And I was like, oh no, something's wrong.
I went with melted black licorice saltwater taffy. That's what I thought the consistency was.
That's like exactly right.
Than like a brownie mix. That's kind of, and that was about the color too.
Yeah. Yeah. I was not ready for that. I don't know if anyone had prepared you for that, but.
Oh, real quick. Okay, I got to do a black licorice tangent. Have you ever been to Snow Cap and Sisters?
No.
Okay, they have amazing black licorice ice cream, but your poop colors the water green for like 3 days after you eat.
Oh, let's go. So, do you like licorice?
Yeah, I like black licorice. I'm not a big fan of red licorice.
Oh, see, I'm the exact opposite, but I would be willing to soldier up for this ice cream
I wasn't prepared for that
hands-on experience afterwards. It turns out so back in the 70s that they monster like the Frankenberry, the cereals, apparently they had some sort of like unregulated food dye in the early ones because kids would eat it and their stool would just be red. And so much so that parents were taking their kids to the hospital with like, I think they're bleeding. I don't know what's going on. And they had enough cases to where they then began to test it. And they're like, it's got very high concentrates of this dye. And it turns out like our bodies can't process that one. And so it just passes it straight through. And
that might be kind of similar to what they have at Snow Cap. I don't know. Cause it's black. Like the black licorice ice cream is very dark. So
black ice cream. Hey, if I'm ever over in Sisters, I'm definitely going to try it. Cause, that sounds like an experience. Ice
cream, so it's worth it anyways.
Yeah. But. Yeah. Well, I have some questions that I ask everybody on the show. Before I get into them, in about 9 minutes, my Zoom is going to go kerchunk. I'm going to start another one and send it to you. Zoom, you can pay for a premium, but it's like $150 for like 6 months or something.
Carly bought that because she was piano teaching.
Yeah.
Online.
Yeah,
during COVID. So
I had it free with the high school during COVID, but then once we all went back, the high school was like, "Yeah, we're not paying for this anymore." Because I can't imagine how much that was for everybody's account. Like, yeah. I have some questions. And these are just kind of general bathroom questions. What type of toilet paper do y'all use at your house there?
I think right now we're using Costco toilet paper.
That's right. That's good stuff.
Though when I looked, I think the Charmin Mega Rolls or Ultra Rolls or whatever, they're smaller at Costco
the beautiful than they bears.
Are at Walmart.
Yep. Yep. So, that makes, I mean,
Because we had Walmart stuff, and then Carly got some stuff at Costco, and I'm like, wait a minute. And I held up. I was like, this is significantly smaller.
I'm being lied to.
If there's a Costco conspiracy going on back here.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm convinced. So Costco says, here we go. Costco says that their milk is shaped the way it is so they can stack more on the pallet. And I'm sitting here going, okay, that's fine and all. But the first pour out of a Costco jug of milk, I cannot not spill it. Like it's the thing being right at the top. I get it everywhere, every time first pour. And I think they do it knowing you will waste a little bit of milk. And in the course of like 5 to 10 years, you will actually have bought like maybe 10 to 15 extra gallons of milk from them. That's my theory. When you guys put the toilet paper on the thing, do you fold it over or under, or do you have a preference?
Okay. Are you doing video for the podcast still, or just audio?
Well, that is another great question. I can try to venture into video for this one. I normally, a lot of times it's just me, so I don't do video, but
no, either way. Okay. Cause I have a visual. I'll go grab it. I'll be right back.
Perfect. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So this is courtesy of my sister.
Oh, let's go. Okay. Well, so I guess my question is, that's awesome, by the way. Do you believe that yourself though?
I agree.
Beards are cool, mullets are not. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I might have some kids at Cascade mad at me because, man, mullets have made a comeback, especially in a rural school like Cascade.
Yep.
But I mean, for toilet paper, absolutely. And I think in general, probably yes. So I'm going to do a shout out to my cousin Cleet and say, I'm sorry. I know you have a mullet and you should keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Though I did see, Carly showed me a video on Instagram the other day. Somebody made a frog on a unicycle that sits on top of their toilet paper roll. Have you seen this?
No.
I need to find it. You have to do it the mullet way. But right. The wheel sets on the toilet paper. So as you pull, it spins his unicycle and his little legs go up and down. And he kind of like wobbles back and forth on the toilet paper roll.
I'm going to have to go seek one of these out too. so other than is there a reason? Like, or is it just, this is the way I prefer it?
I'm kind of OCD and I think it seems to make more sense to me.
Okay.
What about you?
So I'm convinced that it does not matter. I am kind of chaos when it comes to like how the toilet paper gets on there. I'm like almost chaos theory where like, as long as I replaced it, we did good. And I genuinely, it's 50-50. I don't look, I just pop the old one off, slide it in, stick it on. And so with that said, 50% of the time, I don't hear anything from my wife, who is a diehard beard over the top. This is the only way it must be. And then she'll correct it. But I genuinely, like, I don't have a preference.
I think I saw somewhere somebody found the patent. For the first, does that settle it? Or
it doesn't settle it for me. And I've never, so one day in the future, I have a lot, I'll be honest with you. I ask this question of everybody, and a lot of it is data gathering for my own personal defense one day. But I have a theory. So the guy who made toilet paper, he's going to want you to buy more toilet paper. And I'm convinced that if you fold it over, you're going to use more, because your brain sees more sheet as it comes off. And so you're going to pull more sheet off, where if you're pulling from the back, I think you're going to pull earlier. That is my theory. So
for the pre-Costco conspiracy.
Yes. Yes. I for me, it's purely like a money. Like I'm convinced like 3 sheets is all we need. Per wipe. Like I'm such a tightwad. But and then my son like rolls this fistful, and I'm like, oh partner, you're playing a dangerous game with our pipes here, bud. are you a bar soap or a liquid soap lad?
So honestly, I get soap from my in-laws every Christmas and they keep me stocked up. So whatever I'm currently using, I think I probably have enough soap for like 2 more years right now, just in the closet. So liquid, I have some bar soap. I've been using Duke Cannon.
Yep. Duke Cannon's good stuff.
The beer soap or whatever. So
yep.
I like that. And then there's been some other stuff that I've had that's liquid. I really don't have a huge preference. I'm good with either, really.
Yeah. Do you ever carve messages to Carly in the bar soap?
I do not.
Okay. You know,
I take long enough showers as is. Okay. I don't need more time wasted in the shower. I just love warm showers.
Yeah, me too.
And so when we're rushing and trying to get ready, especially Sunday mornings, that can get me into trouble.
Yeah. So big fan of showers. Well, we're going to come back on showers, but before we do that, how do you feel about baths?
I mean, I just have like a regular shower bathtub and I mean, I'm 6 foot. I'm not super tall, but like I'm tall enough that like you can't really do much of a bath in like if we had a big clawfoot bath, like,
yeah,
I'd think about it. But like,
yeah,
otherwise, I don't really plan on having something that fancy. So,
baths are, I think they're really great for other people because I get so, it's like the sitting in your own water. I just can't get past it in my brain. I get locked on that. And I'm like, oh,
you see that?
Yeah. Do you in the shower? Do you ever have a snack or a drink while you're in the shower?
No, not really. That's not really been. I remember a buddy in high school though saying he would make ramen in the shower with the shower water. So I've never tried it, but. He must have had a Ferrari hot water heater.
Oh, man. I might be trying that within the next few weeks. Shower ramen. Let's go. Oh, boy.
I mean, he was one of those guys. I don't know. He did a lot in the shower. He would text in the shower. He put his dumb phone in a plastic bag so that he could text people.
He got a Ziploc bag for his phone. Oh, he puts these teens to shame with their cell phone addictions.
I know. Woo. Touchscreens have ruined that for him.
Yeah. Is it bad? is the phone use bad at the school that you're at?
It's pretty bad. It depends. Some teachers are like,
nope.
If I see it, it's game over. And some are really chill. And it just depends, you know. And with as a sub, it's hard because sometimes they give you enough to fill the period and sometimes they don't.
Right.
You know,
right.
Sometimes you have like 15 minutes worth of stuff and then we don't do block scheduled. We only have 5 periods.
Okay.
So it's like 75 minute periods.
Yeah.
So it's pretty long.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times what I'll try to do is like, if you're done with everything, you can be on your phone. So.
Right. Right. That seems like a fair path forward. That's how we are at our, well, some. Yeah. I wish it was uniform. Cause at the school I'm at, it's like, yeah, that's how I am in my room. I'm like, if you're done with your stuff and you don't have an exorbitant amount of homework, you can be on it. But, you know, if I go check your grade and you've got, you know, if you got a 40% and 12 missing assignments, no way. Like we have work to do.
And see, it's hard as a sub. I don't know that.
Right. Right.
Unless that's it's long term and I do have access to the grade book and stuff like that.
Yeah. So. Wow. No, but so with the shower, it'll become clear why I was like, we need to get on a new, have you ever performed a waffle stomp?
I have not.
Do you know what a waffle stomp is?
I do.
Perfect.
And great. That brought up another Corbin memory.
I've unlocked
my freshman year. I lived in a hall called the PVG basement. And apparently I'm bad luck because the basement doesn't exist. And I don't know if you know this, but they don't have students in Farrar anymore.
Really? I did not know that.
Students. Yeah. So they're using it for campus safety and something else, I think. I was in the PVG basement, which was small. I think we only had like 17 or 18 guys.
Yeah.
And, our bathroom. Oh, I got two stories now that I'm thinking about it, but the Waffle Stomp one that prompted this. So somebody had brought a Tide Pod into the handicapped. Did you ever go in the PVG basement bathroom?
I feel like I did at one point, because I think
on the
right
side there was a shower stall, but it was like giant, and it had a toilet in one corner. So it was like half handicapped shower, half handicapped restroom in one.
That's awesome.
Like room. So somebody had brought a Tide Pod and put it near the drain in the shower bathroom thing.
Yeah.
And guys were standing around peeing, trying to see if they could dissolve it. And then somebody turned around and just dropped one on top of the Tide Pod.
Oh, that's foul. Oh my gosh. How was it dealt with from there? Like, did somebody stomp it down?
Like, my memory stopped there, so I don't know if I left at that point or
oh my gosh,
or what.
You know, I'm glad to hear that y'all were up to nefarious things down there, because like, I don't know if you've ever, like, Brett Rediger and Aaron have ever told you stories from Davidson, but like we at one point, a group of no less than 8 of us, like, and not all of us, but a certain number of us did definitely poop on a car in Davidson parking lot.
Oh, okay. I heard about that story.
Yeah.
We climbed the gym and peed off of it.
What? That's awesome.
So, I think that was my freshman year.
Man, dude, so that's
the gym
power
was
move.
Tough. There was like a weird ceiling access thing you had to boost people up to.
That's awesome though.
So,
man, what a power move. I assume this was very late at night.
Yes.
2 in the afternoon with class going on.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so no stomping. Would you ever, if you ever have to go to the bathroom in the shower, would you like, do you just hold it, or what do we got going?
I mean if I have to pee, I'll just pee in the shower.
Yep.
And then I'll make sure to rinse it down. Like,
yes, absolutely.
But other than that, I mean, I just wait. Yeah,
just wait it out.
Yeah.
There's a slice of the population, and it's scary that there is a slice of the population that's doing this, it's not me, before we get into that, because that's the other thing is every time I do one of these, I get somebody that messages me, yeah, that population's you, Hoover, but they poop in their hand, and then they throw it around the corner to the toilet, and I'm like, listen, you're debased at that point. You've crossed a
that's
bridge.
Like worse than a waffle stomp, because that's like
I think so like a waffle stomp, you know, it's foul, but like I ain't gonna pretend like I ain't.
I thought that was the worst that could be done, so I didn't know that there was.
Yeah, I had, he's never been on the show, but I had a buddy from high school who I was messaging him, and he's like, oh dude, I didn't stomp it. I was afraid of like getting caught. So I would just like catch it and throw. And I'm like, no, sir. Like what's, yeah. Okay. So you get caught with that. Then what? Like that's worse by far. Absolutely wild.
Unless you're in the PVG basement bathroom. And then you just walk back into the corner of the shower and throw it in the toilet. Oh, that was had no windows. That was the other thing. It was in the middle of the building.
Yeah.
So there was a one door access.
It's just dark.
And so a guy sprayed this stink bomb spray. I think he dumped a whole thing in the trash can or something. And it was just for days. I literally was like checking everywhere for poop, because it smelled like there was poop like actively giving off.
Gross.
So I was like checking the stalls, and I was like, did somebody poop in our trash can? Like, then we found out that, yeah, this guy had just emptied.
Yeah, the kids at the high school will break those open in the hallway, and it's like, all right, pop the doors, here we go. Have you ever you said you haven't had a snack in the shower. Would you ever consider eating an orange in the shower as if it was an apple? It's a thing.
In the specifically in the shower.
Yeah. So you peel it and then you don't like pull the plugs apart. You just like keep the globe of orange and then you just eat it like an apple, but like with the water, like, cause it's a mess normally.
Okay.
But with the water running on you, there's like low risk, all reward.
See, I'm not a big like eat an orange, like big orange guy.
Okay.
Like I like mandarins. Those are pretty manageable because you just peel off the little slices. Right. So
yeah. Do you kind of related, but not really. Have you ever had a snack on the toilet? Like
I can't think of a time. I mean, I'm sure it's happened, but yeah. It's not like a common occurrence for me.
Yeah. So. You don't ever remember like growing up and just, yeah. Hey dad, I'm taking this bag of gummy worms to the bathroom with me. Just like, I got to finish them out.
Well, I mean, depending on what kind of gummy worms they are, if they're like those Haribo sugar-free ones, they're the reason you're headed.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't even make them anymore. I've tried to get some like last year, the year before for Halloween episode. And they you can't even get them online. Like
really, you can't even find them on eBay or anything.
You could get them on eBay, but again, I'm so cheap, and I'm people sure they're so know. Expensive on yeah, eBay. they're like $60 a bag, $50 a bag, and I'm like, I mean, at that point, I can just drink some X-Lax and simulate it, and nobody would know. But no, I ain't that needing it. Have you ever taken a dark shower?
A dark shower.
Yeah, this one's courtesy of Wesley Coleman from Corbin. He.
Oh yeah, no, I know Wes. He went to Israel with me.
Yeah,
it was me and him and Chico.
Yeah, we've
been best friends since third grade, and I swear they speak their own language.
Yes, absolutely. They're goofy guys, but him and Chico would shower in the dark in the dorm. You'd walk in, and they're just in the dark showering, and. It became a thing for so many of us that like now I do not shower with lights on like to really? This day. Yeah. I dark shower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never done it. At least not on purpose. I'm sure in the dorm, somebody turned the lights off on me or something, but like,
yeah. Yeah. There was so many times where we would be showering in the dark in Davidson and somebody just come in and bam, hit the light. And there's just, you know, like the light as you're not prepared for it. You're adjusting immediately. It's awful. But to the point where it like people would open the door and they would listen for the shower. And if there's a shower, they would just go down the hall to the other bathroom. It was a thing.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, real quick. While I'm thinking about it, I keep forgetting to tell you about it. You've been to Word of Mouth, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Have you been to their bronze bathroom or the mirror bathroom or whatever?
No.
Okay, you have to go because I remember seeing a while ago you rated top bathrooms in Salem, and it's a top 10.
Oh, I'm going to get on that. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to take a look because so every year the Cintas Corporation they do like this bathroom competition, and you can nominate bathrooms. So I might get up there and see if I can get that on the list for 2024. Cause
I went with some friends and I was like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. And one of my friends is like, oh, hey, have you been to the mirror bathroom? And I'd only been to Word of Mouth like once before.
Yeah.
Now it's like, it's the one right next to us. Like you have to use that one. I was like, okay, but no, it's super cool.
Bronze. Oh man. Yeah.
Like
I'm going to check
bronze and mirrors and
that's super cool. That sounds awesome. Yeah. I'm going to check that out for sure. Wow. Word of Mouth. Yeah. I've been in there. I didn't use the bathroom though. So, you never know when you're going to find a gem. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Do you, and this is kind of wrapping up a lot of the questions here. Is there any bathroom pet peeves that things that happen in the bathroom? It can be, you know, for married couples, sometimes, you know, we fly too close to the sun with sharing our pet peeves. But do you have anything that happens in the bathroom that is just like, it just drives you up a wall?
Hmm.
Or roommates. Roommates is the other one where people are like, oh yeah, when I had a roommate.
Yeah, when there were four of us sharing just the one bathroom and when I was living in Jefferson, that was a little tough. And it wasn't that tough on me, though. I feel like sometimes I have this like very small bladder and I'll just get hit and I'm like, I have to pee so bad, and there'd be somebody in there and I'm just like, what do I do?
Get so, out.
But then my long showers got me in trouble with one of my roommates. Cause he's like banging on the door and he's like, dude, you're not the only one that lives here. And I was like, oh, sorry.
Would you ever just leave the door unlocked for like them to come in?
I tried to remember to.
Yeah.
Especially after that experience, I think I was like, oh shoot, I gotta.
Yeah. Do you guys, now that you're married, do you guys lock the door with the bathrooming or is it like,
well, we I mean, no, we just, I mean, we'll just leave it open sometimes, yeah. Which in my old place, my sister came over.
No.
I used the bathroom and I just didn't even think about it. Cause she was like one of the first people we'd had like over. Cause we just moved into this apartment and everything was new and we were just married and all this stuff. And I like flush. And then she's like, hears it and realizes that I hadn't closed the door. And I was like, Oh my gosh.
Wow. That's funny.
Thankfully she was around the corner, but
yeah. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Close for comfort. Too close for comfort. So the other thing that I wanted to ask you about in this, you had shared that you had like animal scat, stories or like information about,
So I hunt. I'm not like crazy into it like some people are.
Yeah.
But like, you know, we go to Central Oregon and hunt and I'm going to do a little hunting on the west side here. I got an archery tag for the first time this year. So we'll see. Nice. I'll try to see if I can talk to, I think there's a guy at church that has deer in his apple orchard. So I'll maybe get a nice, easy start to archery hunting. But yeah, so I think scat is big and, cause it tells you how fresh the animal is, how closely they've been there. Cause I mean, tracks can tell you, especially if it's wet. You know, you can kind of look and see if there's like stuff that's fallen into the track or things like that. But I mean, scat's really like a great way to know, you know, what animal it is. Cause I mean, like deer and elk, I guess are going to be fairly similar, but I mean, a coyote's dropping dog dews, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, bears, you kind of get this like pile, but, so what I always do when I'm hunting is I'll just step on it. Cause I mean, if it's like gray, you know, if it's like gray and powdery, like obviously it's super old.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like sometimes it's black, but you can't tell how fresh it is. So if you give it a nice step on it, if it just squishes, then you know, it's fresh. And if it's a little hard still, especially like in the winter when we hunt elk, then it's like, okay, this is like somewhat fresh, but like, this is still this is frozen. So it's been a while. So it's helpful. It also tells you if they're on the move or not. This is something my dad taught me, is if it's in a pile, then they're just standing there. But sometimes you'll just get like kind of drops as they, if they're on the move and dropping, you'll get like a line.
Yeah. Huh.
So
yeah.
So it's funny. It honestly took, I play a hunting video game called The Hunter Call of the Wild. And that's what you use. You use the scat. It tells you how fresh the tracks are.
Like they've built that in. True.
That is like real life is thinking about. So that's what I always do. Yeah. I just take my boot and just step on it and
then we curb stomp
it. How fresh it is. So, but I mean, if it's snow, you know, you can see the little yellow, the peas, you know, you'll just see like, it's like hole with some yellow on it. And so,
yeah. Do you, when you've been out hunting, have you ever found, have you ever found anything where you like were not able to identify what it was from? Have you ever found a Bigfoot turd? I'm just gonna get to it.
I want to believe in Bigfoot, I'll be honest. Yes. And every time I drive through Detroit and there's just trees everywhere, I'm like, you can't tell me that we know there's not Bigfoot with all these woods.
Right.
But not that I have found. I found some crazy, I remember like there's a couple or at least one instance where it was like, there is a massive coyote around here. Cause he dropped like, a black lab plus size dump here, you know? And it's just like, man, there's a big old coyote running around somewhere. Yeah. Cause that was impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know, I grew up in Montana and we definitely, you know, scat for hunting. I never thought to step on it though. I'm not gonna lie. Like that's fresh for me.
Yeah, that's for me. It's just like, oh, this is how you check and see if it's frozen or not. Cause again, most of the hunting, I mean, deer season's October,
right?
Elk is November, December. and we're up in the high desert in Central Oregon. So, yeah, you know, if it squishes, then you know it's fresh because it's cold. It's really cold.
Yeah. Most of yeah. The, or a lot that's of the fair. Time. That's fair. So, well, cool. Do you, that's all of the questions I have. If you have more stories, that's great. Or if you just have, if you have any bathroom wisdom to leave folks with, I'd love to have you leave us with some bathroom wisdom.
Let's see. Oh, we got some of that, like, poo-pourri before you go spray. And that stuff's pretty good. I mean, it's not perfect, but like it's.
Yeah. It's, spray before you go.
So. We did the game where you saran wrap a bunch of stuff.
Have you ever seen that? Unwrap
game. Yep. We did that at Christmas at my, in Texas with my family.
That's awesome.
A while back. And so we got one of those that smells like birthday cake. And it's pretty good.
Is that difficult to like smell that while you poop? Because like I'm not saying like difficult, like bad, because it's obviously better. But for me, I think a wire would get crossed in my brain. Like when I'm around birthday cake, do you know what I'm saying?
It's not a perfect smell. Okay. So it's off enough that I think you're good to go.
Okay. So. Cause something happened in my childhood where popcorn and urine are crossed. Like if I smell movie theater popcorn, I think someone like we took our kids to see that new Spider-Man movie. And I kept thinking my daughter had an accident and I'm like, no.
Did
not
your parents
now.
Train you to pee with popcorn? Was that what you
aimed
at
think so.
Or something?
Okay. I don't think so. I don't remember. I know people say that they aimed at Cheerios. I don't remember any of that.
I didn't take candy bribes, but then stickers worked. So I don't know what stickers. Was wrong with me, but candy didn't work, but stickers did. So.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah. I
got me my stickers when I used the bathroom.
I bet that was cheaper than candy though. Like win-win for the trolls.
I know.
Well, cool. What church are you at in Dallas?
I'm at Valley Baptist, my dad's church. So awesome. We're actually in Perrydale technically.
Yeah.
So
Valley Baptist. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah. Do you know where Perrydale is? It's kind of out by Amity.
Yeah. So if given a map where Perrydale is not located, I would not be able to pinpoint it, but like I used to drive like all back through that, like Monmouth, Dallas, Amity, up to Newburgh, up that way for mentoring. Okay. And I mentored
a
lot of
99.
Kids.
It's like 4 minutes off 99 on like, I think it's Bethel Road at that point.
Yep. Yeah. I used to mentor kids out that way when I worked in Salem. And so like, I'm familiar with a lot of the area, but I'm not familiar enough to where I'm like, I can, you know, land a marker there, but
that's fair. I mean, it's literally like, people are like, do you know where Perrydale is? Yeah. It's like, we know where our church is because we share a gravel parking lot with the school and that's pretty much it for the town.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. A few houses, farms.
Yeah. That's awesome. How long has your dad been pastoring there?
I think 30 something years as well. About the same time with Corbin. So
that's amazing.
Yep.
That's super cool. Wow. Yeah. I'll have to make a trip up to Corbin and stop in and say what's up one day, but
yeah, you should. You'd appreciate it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sweet. Well, thank you, Bradley, for being here.
I have one more question for you real quick.
Yeah.
So this is, you talk about the gummy bears made me think of it. Did you, I can't remember if you told me you lost it. Do you still have that crazy egg shaped disc golf disc that you used to have?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I still got that.
Do you know that that's worth like so much money now?
Is it really?
It's like the holy grail of like tomahawk discs.
No way.
Be epic. I'll send you a video.
Yeah, but it's just in the back
of my car. I have another
buddy
that's like a purveyor of weird discs. Him and I, he more than me, but we both buy weird stuff.
Yeah.
And like that would be, if I had $100 to blow on nothing, I would go on eBay and order one.
They're what?
So, I mean, you can get them for like $40-$50 when they're used and in rough shape, but people are selling in the package new for like $200.
What?
So,
I found that. I don't even remember. I found it in Montana. I was playing with a buddy and it didn't have a name on it.
Because it's PDGA legal and no other disc made like that can be.
Yeah.
But it's like grandfathered in. There's a bunch of like weird old designs that because they were once legal, they aren't going to make them illegal, but it can never be made again.
That's
and Aerobe doesn't make it anymore. So
yeah, I'll have
you, me and this buddy will have to go because him and I would love to get a chance to throw an aerobic epic. Cause
yeah, dude, absolutely. Wild. Yeah. I have a stack of disc golf discs in one of my cars and, I don't play enough to have lost it. So that's how I'm like, yeah, I've got it out there somewhere.
We'll have to do it.
Yeah.
Did you slow down since the window incident?
Who told you? Did I tell you about that?
You told me.
Okay, good, good. No,
did you know that we recreated it, me and my buddies?
I think you told me this. I think you told me this.
And we twice, two different occasions, carried the basket all over campus to recreate the old.
The old one?
The old course.
The old one was just, I enjoyed it much more.
I threw my first eagle on the old one.
Yeah.
The across the pond shot.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, now that I play a lot more, it shouldn't have been a par four, but I mean, course par was a par four, so I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say that I ruined that course for everyone, but I definitely think I played a large part in ruining that course for everyone.
There was also a guy wandering the halls of Balyo, and it was a girl's dorm, supposedly looking for a bathroom or something. So
yeah, I think, you know,
maybe you told me that. So I think that probably played into it.
Yeah. I just remember crashing my disc through that window and I called so many people to try to handle it. But like all the RAs were out of town on a retreat. Mike was sick or something with the campus safety stuff. And so I finally just like went down and told Student Life. I said, hey, I threw a frisbee through a girl's window in Balyo, and he's like, okay, I'll get a hold of somebody. And then like later that evening there was cardboard in the window, but it looked like the girls had put it up. And I was like, oh, I feel so bad. And then everybody came back and I went and found Hayden Herring, and I was like, hey, by the way, y'all were camping, couldn't get a hold of you. I did crash a frisbee through a girl's window. So
was it your epic?
No. I want to say it was just, it wasn't a nuke. It was something like one of those Innova something, you know what I'm saying?
Like a boss or something.
Yeah. It was not like I hammer through it and it just, it was just, oh no. Why? I didn't pay for it. I told them I'm absolutely willing to pay for it, but like, by that point, I think they had lost the thread of what happened and they're just like, we need a new window. Just put a window in. So yeah, got away. Yeah, man. Yeah. I appreciate it. And thank you again for taking time away from your family to do this. It's
Yeah. I mean, Sam's down for a nap. So this was good timing. So
perfect. Is he a good sleeper?
Yeah, he is. He's a really good sleeper, which is good. So
yeah, that makes a lot of difference.
Yes, it does for his parents as well.
Sweet, man. Well, I appreciate it. I'll try to be in touch more often about stuff. Stay connected.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It'd be fun to hang out. Have you played Cascadia?
I've played it once. Like, okay. It's one of those where I have it and I've played it, but I don't play it enough to be like, yes, I play that. Because
cool. I was just curious because I know I remember we used to do our board game nights. We did that for like one summer.
Oh,
remember
yeah.
That? Those Wednesday nights. I still remember the cashing guns at Walmart. That was so stupid.
Yeah, that was outside. I tell people these stories and they're like, you did not. And I'm like, well, we did. And then like Gavin's a cop now. And I'm like, if you made it, we're set, dude. Like he's like, that's not how it works. But yeah.
What's Austin doing these days?
He works he lives in Dallas. Yeah, him and Kelly and their daughter live out there.
And that was his longtime girlfriend, right? They were dating way back when, or was that somebody else? Or did he end up marrying somebody else?
Austin at Corbin was never really dating. And then he and Kelly met at Corbin, but it wasn't until he got done that they began to date. Like he graduated and then they started to date.
I think that was right. I think that was right when we started the game nights, though.
Yeah.
Sometime around there, maybe.
Yeah. And then Gavin and Bailey have been together.
Yeah. He was already married or was close to being married or something when we were doing those.
Yeah. He was just getting ready to get married. But they dated since like seventh or eighth grade or something like that. They've been together a long time.
I got a buddy that did that. He was a seventh grader and she was in sixth grade and they started hanging out. And it That's was like, crazy. He kind of told me, he's like, yeah, there's never really like a, oh, we're dating now. He's like,
yeah,
her parents just started calling me her boyfriend and I never argued with them.
Why argue with it?
So
don't break what ain't fixed or whatever they say.
Yeah.
Well, sweet dude. Well, I appreciate it. And I will let you get back to your family. And
sounds good.
Yeah, we'll be in touch for sure.
Perfect. Sounds sweet, good. Man.
Yep. Have See a good ya. One.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Privy. Thanks for listening. Follow us at PrivyCast. Send us an email, privycast@gmail.com. If you want to be like Bradley's dad, Dr. Troll, and be an email sender, we would love that. Also, a reminder, keep pooping in the free world. The free world was not always free. And so a dollar for every rating and review that is left goes to the Wounded Warrior Projects. We would love to send them some love. This will do it for another episode of Privy. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Kevin and Poddington for the use of their music. Thanks again to Bradley for joining us and giving up his time. Own your stank. Spray before you go. And now, as always, don't forget to flush.